Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Monday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, the deal between the Pacers and the Lakers around Buddy Hield and Miles Turner is reportedly dead. For now, are the Lakers making a mistake? That's next on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers. Your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, sometimes on weekends. Always when news breaks, we've got fresh Lakers content for you. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to get that even faster. It always pops up there first. Want to let you know that today's episode of Locked On Lakers is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has covered the season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Shopdoer.com, Andy, Locked On 15. We'll get into that a little bit later too. So Austin Reeves wants us to all do better in terms of coming up with a nickname for him. So we'll get to that. We still want to get to some Russell Westbrook stuff. We've got some new Darvin Ham things from the All the Smoke podcast. So lots of things set up to go this week. But first and foremost, Andy, big trade talk. We talked last week a lot about how the Lakers had a decision to make about dealing with Indiana or dealing with Brooklyn. Indiana would be Miles Turner, perhaps, along with Buddy Hield. Apparently that one is dead.
Yeah, Bob Kravitz from The Athletic, longtime Pacers reporter. He's as good a source and connected to that team as anybody. Tweeted out, per source, Lakers-Pacers trade involving Russell Westbrook, Miles Turner, Buddy Hield, and other assets is currently dead. That's not to say the Lakers can't come back and add a second first-round pick to the current package of picks, but for now things are at a standstill. And later in The Athletic, in writing about this, Kravitz added that they could revitalize the talks by adding that second pick. It's pretty, quote, pretty straightforward, really. It would be a first round in 2027 and 2029. Currently they are just offering the 2027 pick, and the Pacers believe they should get a first for taking Westbrook's contract off the Lakers hands and another first for Turner and Hield. It's a little hard to understand why Lakers GM Rob Pelinka won't do the deal. He's got LeBron coming up on the last years of his prime, and he's getting two solid pieces in return. A little bit of Kravitz editorializing, but I think he's also, in a lot of respects, speaking for many Laker fans.
Yeah, and of course, the answer to that question is twofold. First, the Lakers would like to hold on to as many assets as they possibly can because they don't have many. So any opportunity to not add something to a deal is something you're going to take. And of course, making that trade would almost certainly take them out of any contention, any possibility of getting Kyrie Irving.
There's no almost.
That part of it is, you know, part of the deal is, you know, the Lakers, I think, would prefer Kyrie Irving, as we discussed last week, but they are not working on their own time frame there. They are owned by Brooklyn's time frame, and Brooklyn's time frame isn't even about Kyrie. It's about Kevin Durant. And so they have to wait on that. But there's all sorts of questions that are raised by this. The first one is, are the Lakers, do you think, making a mistake? As Kravitz implies, as some Laker fans certainly have implied to us at Cam Brothers on Twitter, at the Locked On Lakers show page on Twitter. Do you think they're making a mistake at this point by not including that second first rounder? I'm assuming THT might be in there and whatever. They don't have a lot to offer.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, it's good that you brought up THT because there's, I think, a very good chance he could be involved in this as well. If the Pacers, who at that point are in a full-on rebuild, having already basically pawned off Malcolm Brogdon to the Celtics, if they trade Hield and Turner, they are in a full-on rebuild at that point. They might want THT, which mm-hmm. would mean at that point the Lakers have essentially traded all of their assets at that point in this deal. So you have to really think about it from the perspective of not just do you prefer Kyrie Irving and do you think Kyrie at one point will be made available by Brooklyn, like that there will be a resolution with Kevin Durant one way or another that allows
in time, like, because
right in time.
At least, I mean, we'll talk about the timeline here. Like, there is, like, you don't want to be doing this in December or waiting for this in December or January or February, pushing up into the deadline. Ideally, the Lakers do something like this before the season starts. Would you agree?
Yeah, that is, it's definitely ideal. I mean, I guess the flip side would be there are so many new faces and they keep turning over the roster every year anyway. They're pretty experienced with throwing together a bunch of new faces. Why not press it up a little bit and add a few new major ones in January? But yeah, ideally you would prefer to break camp with what is basically your roster, but they need to think about this comparatively to what they think they could get, not just for with Kyrie, but maybe Kyrie and Joe Harris, as you've mentioned before, the possibility of Kyrie, Joe Harris, and Seth Curry, just asking for everything.
If I'm putting in second round, this is my basic philosophy. If I'm adding a second pick, my goal here is to hold on to as many players as I have on my own roster and add as many as I can that are credible players. And one of the things I think that is appealing about Brooklyn is that I like Joe Harris and Seth Curry. If I could somehow get both of those, and this is raw speculation, I don't even know if that's a possibility, but like the prospect of one or both of those guys is extremely appealing to me, more so than Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, who I like, but has always hurt. I mean, I realize Joe Harris is coming off an injury too, but like...
And Kyrie's often hurt.
Right. I mean, it's like...
And often doesn't want to play basketball.
Right. I there's a lot about this whole situation is suboptimal. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot about this whole situation that I don't like. But if you're going to play ball here, and this seems to be really the only avenues available to the Lakers, where are you on, like, should they throw in the second pick at this point? Like, you know, it's not even August yet.
I mean, I don't think that they are under any type of real time frame in not even August yet. I mean, I think it starts becoming a little more urgent if you get towards September and both of these are still live options. Mm-hmm. You know, you really have to start figuring out what you want to do with this. You also have to really, and this is something you and I have talked about a lot, Brian, like, you need to have an honest conversation with yourself about how good do we really think we're going to be. Like, obviously, you don't want to be spinning your wheels and spinning LeBron's wheels in the process when you have a player like him, you have a player like Anthony Davis, and you've gone so far out of your way to try to put yourself in a championship mix. So, like, you want to make sure that you are using the time that you have with these players productively and aggressively, but you do have to make sure that you are actually making these moves in ways that make sense. And if you don't think, or if you're not certain that Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, yeah, they'll make you better. Do they make you championship better? How close to championship do they make you? Do they make you better enough that it feels worth really just pushing in all of your chips, like all of the chips that you have control over? I realize the Lakers have pick swaps. They're not going to be completely without draft capital of any kind.
No, but they don't control any of their draft.
Right.
If they make this trade, they don't control any of their drafts through 2029. Right.
They lose their trade capital through the draft with this. And
okay,
that is a very big deal.
Let's answer that question. Like, do you think, because that's first and foremost, do you think this gets them close? And how close do you really need to be? Because, so let's do that question next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Doer, the new sponsors of the Locked On Lakers podcast. And solely for this show, they are only involved with us, the purveyors of the world's most comfortable pants. That would be Doer, not this show. Doer is clothing created
pants.
With the belief that comfort, style, and function all exist to complement each other in design. A single pair of Doer pants. This is amazing. And Brian and I have both worn the pants. We can attest to this. It is true. They can take you from the bike lane or exercising to a work function to dinner out with friends. Like, that is the versatility you get with Doer. You don't have to carry around different outfits for the course of the day. You don't have to go in some bathroom stall changing clothes awkwardly like a dork. These clothes are made with 95% natural fiber, so doer clothing is actually great for the planet. And in case you have not heard, the earth needs all the help it can get, so you are doing your part while looking good. So stop by the store in LA. It's at 170 South La Brea Avenue. It's in mid-city. It's, you know, it's 20 minutes from everywhere around LA. Or if, say, you're 25 minutes away, order online. Go to shopdoer.com. Either way, use the exclusive code for our listeners, this show, our community, LockedOn15. You get 15% off. Again, LockedOn15. Go to shopdoer.com, D-U-E-R, Doer.
We're talking staple items here in your wardrobe, people. You will wear them for everything. Locked On Lakers brought to you by betonline.net. It is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events on the number one source for online odds, games, and lines. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. Even golf! BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information, from live betting in-game to scores and podcasts. They've got you covered for everything, so head on over to BetOnline or use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening today. BetOnline, where the game starts. Andy, you asked a very good question. Does Buddy Hield and Miles Turner make you good enough to... You said that the words championship good. I want to start there because I think that is an expression with some flexibility, at least in my mind. Does that make them championship favorites? Obviously not. I don't think we have to spend a lot of time debating that. When you say championship good, what do you mean by that?
Does it put you in a position where, if nothing else, you can capitalize on a few breaks coming your way? You know, like a team has some unexpected injuries, unfortunate, but that is often what creates opportunity for other teams, chemistry issues, things like that, underperformance. Sometimes teams just don't end up playing
literally everything that happened to the Lakers last year.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
All of it.
You know what? Other teams capitalized on that because the Lakers entered last season one of the betting favorites to win the championship. So there are a lot of teams that were beneficiaries of the Lakers being a complete dumpster fire. So, you know, are you in the position where you feel like if a couple things break your way and your own team stays healthy, there is chemistry quickly, you know, guys perform up to their expected levels, are you in a position to make some noise? And if you feel like you are in a position to make some noise, that is where you start saying, okay, maybe this is the move where you cash in everything.
And I think, look, the God is in the details here. And like, does THT go out in this trade? If so, do the Lakers get another player back? The Lakers need talent. Like, I understand the need for shooting, the need for another, you know, replace Westbrook with Kyrie. You've upgraded your third star, all of this stuff. But the Lakers still have a massive, massive problem. Whoever you want to be your three, like Russell Westbrook, still the third best player on this team, ill-fitting as he is. 4 through 15, you've still got a massive problem. They need to fill out this roster in other ways, which is why I mentioned in the last segment, if they'll say, we'll give you both picks, give us Joe Harris, give us Seth Curry, we'll take everything off your hands that you want to get rid of as part of a rebuild. And you say the same thing to the Indiana Pacers, who, you know, it's there's less of that on their roster.
Or you tell Brooklyn, I don't care if you don't want to get rid of them. We want them.
We want them, whatever it is, as the terms of this. But you got to figure if they get to the point where they've traded Durant and now they're trading Kyrie, they are in that kind of rebuilding posture. Sure. You know, whatever the extra stuff is that you can get from Indiana to add to the roster, you do it. That's part of the stuff here. And I think the other half of this question, before I sort of give my idea of whether or not this makes them sort of, in your definition, championship caliber or you know, championship contenders or whatever it might be, you have to understand, I think you have to really realistically value what your assets can get you if you hold on to them. If we don't make a trade for Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, is the market going to bring us something that's significantly better? Because THT's trade value decreases as the season goes on, just because the flexibility around him decreases. If he blows up, he's going to opt out of his contract for next year, and it will cost people money to bring him in. That was the problem with Kyle Kuzma. The Lakers event, you know, kind of ran into as well. So you don't have a lot of player assets. Your draft assets may or may not. You have like two first round picks.
They're so far down the road. They're actually really difficult to predict what they're going to be.
Like, it could be worth a lot if they don't have protection, because the Lakers could be a total disaster by then. But if they put it back together, they could be in the late 20s.
Exactly. I mean, 2027, especially 2029, that's 7 years from now.
Yeah, the Lakers could have completely crumbled and rebuilt by then. It is all possible. And so, like, look at what Rudy Gobert fetched, like, you know, from Minnesota. Package of some pretty, I mean, like, people talk about the draft picks, some decent young rotation players went in that deal. Like, it wasn't just draft picks, although it was a lot of those. And like, look what eventually Brooklyn thinks they're going to get for Kevin Durant. Even the James Harden deal involved a lot of picks and, you know, Ben Simmons, who's still a young all-star. And so you have to also realistically say, okay, if we hold on to these assets, what are we going to get? Are we going to do better than Turner and Hield? And I think increasingly where I am on this is the answer is no. You're only going to be able to get sort of highly distressed assets, whether it's somebody who's kind of overpaid for what he does in Buddy Hield and an injury risk soon to be free agent in Miles Turner, or Kyrie, who, you know, waves arms wildly, has all the stuff. Like, for two first round picks at the end of the decade is only going to get you so much. So with that in mind, I am not inclined to do it today, because until you really think that there are other teams that are like, okay, we'll swoop in here and take Buddy Hield and Miles Turner off your hands, there's no point in bidding up against yourself. See what else you can put together and all that kind of stuff. But eventually, if you get to that point, especially if it looks like Brooklyn really is going to go into the season and say, we're going to see if we can make, you know, Kevin Durant forget that trade room, or, you know, forget that trade request. We're just going to try to win some games and make it really hard for him to want to leave. I don't know how much better you're going to do than this, you know, especially if one of the things you're trying to trade is Russell Westbrook, who really does probably require a first round pick to move.
Yeah. I don't disagree with what you're saying. And I mean, whether or not you think that is too much in terms of what you get from Buddy Hield, who I think is really a high-end bench player. I think he is a reasonable starter. I wouldn't necessarily say he's a quality starter. I think Miles Turner fits pretty well with Anthony Davis, and he's young, but you've got a lot of injury concerns. But defensively, sure, if nothing else, the two of them together could be fantastic.
That would be if you could keep both of those guys healthy. And obviously that's the through line for literally everything that we say about this team. But if you can keep that is a versatile front court. And look, there are certain guys, you know, I'm not a huge Buddy Hield guy. Tim, our
I'm
friend
even less than you
basketball
are.
At you know, the Lakers Exceptionalism podcast does a ton of analytics work and all that. He thinks that both of those guys could be really good fits. And even at 39%, which is sort of a declining three-point percentage for Hield, he still fills a massive need. Like, sure, the Lakers cannot win with the amount of shooting they have on the roster.
You can make an argument that, you know, Kyrie plus potential other guys from Brooklyn soups up your offense in ways that, you know, like, takes it to a different level. And it could put the Lakers in a type of place where, yeah, they're going to have defensive holes, but you really worry about, can we outscore them? And mm-hmm. those can be dangerous teams to play against. The flip side is Buddy Hield and Miles Turner does a little bit more of addressing best of both worlds, where Miles Turner is solid offensively, but gives you a lot of help defensively. And Buddy Hield is a one-dimensional player, but when he is at the top of his one dimension with shooting, he can be really, really good.
The other Joe Harris is a better, has become a better version of Buddy Hield.
Yes, he is, without question. I would rather have Joe Harris than Buddy Hield. But
that's why I hated that. Like, the Lakers don't want to take on Joe Harris in his 2 years. What?
Yeah.
Ask for, you shouldn't be, you know, debating like, oh, we don't want to, we shouldn't have to give it. You should be asking for Joe Harris, if you're, you unimaginative jerks.
Well, especially if you're willing to trade for Buddy Hield. Like, if you would be willing to take on Buddy Hield, who has one more year on his deal, I don't understand why you wouldn't be willing to take on Joe Harris. The other thing, though, that I do think matters in all of this is whatever either clarity or strong enough temperature they've taken on LeBron and his future with the Lakers.
All right, because hold that, because that's a huge issue. It's like the last big thing that we haven't gotten to with this. It's really the timeline as much as anything. And then, you know, obviously his evaluation of those two guys. Plus, we'll get to Austin Reeves and what he is asking you, Lakers fans, to help him with in terms of the new nickname. It's kind of an interesting story. And I say this even as a guy who really hates nickname stories. So we'll get to all that next.
Real quick, Brian, before we get to this question with LeBron, just wanted to let listeners know the Lakers announced that they signed Javonte McCoy and Fabian White Jr. to Exhibit 10 contracts, which they were both on the summer league team for the Lakers. Javonte McCoy in particular played well and had a lot of Laker fans excited. It basically is like a souped up G League contract. It gives them a guaranteed invite in training camp and gives them more incentive to stay with the G League team in the
It's 50K for those guys if they end up on the G League team with the Lakers.
Right. In the likely event that they don't make the big club. But just keeping people in the loop about this information.
So there you have it. August 4th, I believe, is the big day. That's the day the Lakers can and will officially offer LeBron a contract extension. And as you mentioned near the end of the last segment, kind of everything that they do right now is being viewed through that prism. Is this something that would make LeBron more interested in signing? Is this not going to make LeBron more interested in signing? Does any of this matter when it comes to LeBron re-signing with the Lakers? Because where is he going to go? Like, does LeBron really care about this stuff right now? Or does he want to play in LA because he wants to play in LA? I don't know. I mean, I think they should have a feeling of what he wants to do independent of all of these deals, because LeBron knows that Kyrie isn't a guarantee, and he knows that trading for Buddy Hield and Miles Turner isn't going to guarantee them a title. He knows Westbrook might end up on the team next year. I feel like they have to have a feeling that's kind of independent. Like, do you want to be on the Lakers or don't you?
Yeah. I mean, if they don't have a good sense of this, like they really don't have a good idea of LeBron's temperature with this team and just sort of his feelings towards ending his career with the Lakers, save the scenario involving Bronny, but that's far enough down the road that you shouldn't be fearful of that. But if they don't feel pretty good about the idea that LeBron wants to spend at least the next couple years with this team, maybe even a little bit longer, that is something where I understand where they would be hesitant about pushing all of their chips into the middle, essentially to extend the relationship with a guy that they're not 100% sure wants to be there. And it's important to point out, because this August 4th date has, I think, sometimes been framed like it's a deadline.
Like if he doesn't take it by like 12:01 on August 4th, something's gone horribly wrong.
No. This thing, I heard recently Brian Windhorst talking about this on the Hoop Collective. Like, this could go on throughout the course of the season. Like, LeBron could extend halfway through this upcoming season. So it's not a drop-dead date, but it is a date where you start, I guess, having concerns if you still don't feel like you have clarity. Or even a strong sense of where it's going.
Yeah, I mean, I go back to my previous argument, though. Obviously, you certainly don't want to trade for Kyrie Irving, you know, and have the possibility of extending Kyrie Irving without, I think all of this stuff is much more important for Kyrie in terms of the future of the team than it is for a Hield and Turner deal, because ultimately you can move off of those guys, and you know, you don't even have to re-sign Miles Turner. You can sign and trade him. You can do,
no, but if you give up a couple picks for Miles Turner, you have to be thinking about extending him.
I'm sure, and you would want to think about extending him because he's 26 years old. Right. Like, so there's strong incentive to that anyway. And I think the idea that you could acquire for essentially an extra first round pick a 26-year-old fringy, you know, not all-star, but like in that next tier down. Like,
no, he's been the last couple of years in the conversation for defensive player of the year.
Right. You know, like he's not elite, but he's in that group of really helpful dudes who may not make all-star teams. Because making all-star teams, as people need to understand, is really damn hard. Just ask Mike Conley. And so, like, if I could do that, I think you almost have to look at this as like, what makes our team better now? We have put so much into this. I would look at it less as how can we get LeBron to stay, and more as we have gone 80 yards down the field here. I, again, have a lot of questions about the value of what's left for them to even deal with here down the road. Can you rebuild with two first round picks? Okay, you could do some of those things. They are assets, but given what the market seems to be doing right now, I don't know how much you're gonna get. Can I make this team that I've gone 90-80% of the way there competitive? Because right now it's not. It is not going to win.
I don't know if you've gone 90 or 80%. That's the problem. You could argue that this incarnation is more like 50%.
No, I'm talking about two separate things. Two separate things about the evaluation of how good this would make you is one thing. The evaluation, so let's say they say this makes us good enough. We think we can be contenders with this.
Well, then you should
I think you make the deal because you've gone. Then I say this sort of independent of what you think LeBron is going to do, unless you just flat out know he's leaving, and then that changes the equation. Because at that point, you might want to trade everyone, trade Davis, and just
completely that's my whole point up. Is you right. Just you don't want to be getting rid of everything if you feel like in a year you're not going to have LeBron on this team anyway.
But
that
if you think
the calculus of so much,
sure. But if you think, yeah, we're pretty confident he's going to stay. We think, you know, even if he doesn't sign the extension right away, we feel pretty confident he's going to be around or whatever. That's what I mean when they say you've gone 80% that way. Now, going 100% may not get you where you want to go ultimately.
Sure.
But saving that last 20%, I'm not sure. The more I think about it, the more I feel like saving that, holding on to it, is not going to be that useful either. They don't have a young star. These draft picks, as you point out, are really far down the road. It's really hard to predict what they're going to be like. They could have tremendous value, but they might not. Think about it again. Like, they could be terrible for three seasons, as you point out, three or four seasons, and by 2029 could be really good again. I wouldn't do it today. I would try to hold out to make this deal as good as possible. But if ultimately the hangup is a second first round pick to make this happen, particularly if I could get a little bit of sweetener somewhere else, an extra young player, another second round pick, a couple things or whatever, I would do it because I don't know what holding on to it does for you at this point. All right. So we'll get to this Reeves thing maybe tomorrow. People, I think, probably seen the story. He doesn't really want the Hillbilly Kobe nickname, which was actually something that was kind of given to him before he even got in the league. This goes back to his days at Oklahoma. And then AR-15, given the current climate and everything associated with that weapon, not something he wants to be associated with either, and is making an interesting request of Lakers fans and crowdsourcing. So we'll get to that, for Tuesday. I do want to let you know, very cool thing, Slava Medvedenko, former Laker and hero of this show, is auctioning off both of his Lakers championship rings to raise funds for people in Ukraine, given everything that's going on there and the devastation of that war. Very cool gesture from Slava, who's serving in the military. Bill Oram wrote a great story about this, the things that he's doing right now in Ukraine. very commendable. So I'm sure Lakers fans support him as much as you possibly can on something like this, even if you can't actually buy the rings yourself.
Yeah, it's going, the money is going towards 100% of the auction funds are going towards his foundation that supports Ukrainian children. He's looking to restore gyms that have been bombed out and, you know, have places for kids to play and really kids to be able to be kids. And there's a great quote from him where he said, "In this moment, I just decided, why do I need these rings if they're just sitting in my safe? I just recognize I can die. After that, I just say I have to sell them to show people leadership, to help my Ukrainian people to live better, to help kids." And it's being auctioned off by SCP Auctions through August 5th. And again, it's really commendable. You know, we are both big Slava aficionados. If you go to our Twitter handle at Cam Brothers, our avatar is actually Slava throwing down. And you know, we love him going back to those days, but this is really fantastic. And it's a pretty impressive, noble gesture.
So kudos to him for doing that. And, however you feel like, you know, most of us can't bid on, rings in an auction, but you know, spread the word.
Love to have Slava's ring.
God, how cool would that be? Who knows? Maybe we can pass the plate around here at the Locked On Lakers podcast. It'd be something we all own.
After everything we've given you people.
Right. You can give us money to buy Slava Medvedenko's championship rings. We don't need both for a good cause.
2002. Right? That was the year he played.
So plenty to cover this week. And we'll get to it. Some Russell Westbrook stuff. I mentioned Darvin Ham was on with Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes on the All the Smoke podcast. I took two or three things from that I thought were really interesting that we'll get to over the course of the week. Austin Reeves, Locked On Lakers is where you go to get all of this stuff a little bit earlier
Locked
than
on
the
Lakers
audio.
On YouTube.
Oh, right. What did I say?
Locked On
Just
Lakers.
Locked On Lakers. That's yes. True. Locked On Lakers on YouTube, more specifically. This also. And of course, Doer, shopdoer.com, Locked On 15 is where you go to get yourself into some of the most comfortable pants on the face of the planet that you really can do anything in. And we'll see everybody Tuesday.